Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the Master's name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for me to be here before all of you once again this Sunday morning. Thank you all for just continuing to keep us in your prayers. I know that God is doing wonderful things in our church. And just from the beginning of the service, we were able to experience the powerful presence of God and just to worship him. You know, as Alex brother was leading us in the song, in the Malayalam song, he was saying, Yeshuvinte Naamame, en Aathmaavin Geethame, en Priya Yeshuve, Naan Ennum Vaazhthi Pugazhthidume. Then there is a stanza that he said, en Yeshu, en Yeshu jeevikkunnaya dinam njanum ennekkum jeevikkaya inni thanne pirinjoru jeevithamil enik ellam en Yeshu athre. So that song, that stanza, really, it's like such a joyful stanza, because that is what we are declaring this morning. If I can say any message, that song kind of like that stands up after. Enneshu jeevikkunnayadina njanum ennekkum jeevikkaya ini thanne pirinjoru jeevitham enikku ellavum Yeshu mathre. That is what we are studying in Romans also. Like when we sing these songs, ee paattukar ezhuthiya paattukal nammal adinte meaning kodu nammal paadumbol adinte oru pratyashayude oru gaanam aanu. It is such a hopeful song when you're singing. The song says, in English, it's the Enneshu Jeevikkunnayadina, because by Jesus lives, Njanum Ennekkum Jeevikkaya. So because he lives, I am going to live forever. Iniyum Thanne Pirinjoru Jeevitham. It's like a life without Jesus, a life that is going to turn away from Jesus. Enikkellavum Yeshu athre. Everything in my life is Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Jayam, hallelujah. Yeshu Karthavu Jeevikkunnu. You say, hallelujah, victorious hallelujah. My God is leaving this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes even for our youth, sometimes they don't understand the meaning of the song, because Malayalam I know our kids are learning Malayalam, but speaking Malayalam and preaching Malayalam is two different things. Speaking Malayalam and singing Malayalam is two different things. You can know Malayalam really well to speak, but to listen to a sermon, it's a different kind of Malayalam that they use. Depends on the pastor. My Malayalam is very easy. Most people can understand it. Or actually, you still need some help to understand my Malayalam. But it's still easy Malayalam that I try to speak. But I know that when we are singing some songs, we use words that sometimes we don't really understand. I have sat for family prayer when we're singing some songs, you know, some old songs that people have written, you know, from their heart, from what God has done. And during family prayer, I'll ask them, Papa, Mommy, what is the meaning of this word we're singing? That time they're thinking, oh yeah, what is the meaning of this word? Because really, they don't know what that meaning is, because that word is sometimes too difficult, or it's not a familiar use that we use in our language. So I know that this is different from what we usually do, but I just wanted to say that song again, because our children should know these songs. When they sing the song, they should say, Yeshu jeevikkunnayadinal, njanum ennekkum jeevikkunnu. This is the hope. This is the pratyasha. This is the hope that we have. Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I will live for eternity. This is the hope of a Christian. This is the greatest hope of a Christian. Anyway, that song, as we were singing it, I felt the Spirit of God really uplift me, encourage me, and minister to me in my spirit. So I wanted to share it with you all, and also to the youth, so that when they hear that song next time, they'll say, oh yeah, Joel Pastor said something about pratyasha or hope in the song, so I have to pay attention to the song. So remember, try and understand the meaning. And children, if you don't understand the meaning, ask your parents for the meaning of the song, because that's when they're also thinking, oh, what is the meaning of the song? You know, oftentimes. So just ask them, what is the meaning of this song? What is the meaning of this word? They would be more than happy to tell you the meaning of the song. Anyway, we are here and we have reached the point in our stage where I am concluding Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8's conclusion, we are going to start today. So we have been doing so many sessions on the book of Romans, and I have been very excited to reach Romans chapter 8. Today it's almost like a mixed feeling of like joy and almost like, oh, it's the end of Romans chapter 8. But I believe that there is some more chapters ahead of us. So I know that we don't have to be that sad. We will continue studying God's word. But let us read Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. Roma Legnam, Etam Adhyayam, 37 Vakyam, Mudal, 39 Vakyam Vire. So Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. There is nothing that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us just bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come into your presence. Lord, you are such an amazing, all-powerful God. You love us with the love that it's incomparable to anything else. It is beyond our comprehension. Father, this morning, as we look at the end of Romans chapter 8, will you help us to grasp this idea of what is your love? And how nothing can separate us from your love. God, I pray, Father, for your protection, your grace, your love, your mercy, your goodness upon each one of us. Lord, I pray for the people who are listening to this word, whether right now or online later. I pray that the word of God will minister to them, will touch them, will deliver them, will heal them, will rescue them, will discipline them, will do whatever it needs, Father, to transform them to be more like you. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, Father, for myself. I surrender myself into your hands. Submit the word of God in your hands, Lord. Will you speak? Will you touch? I am just an instrument in your hands. You are the gifted musician. I am just an instrument. Lord, no one looks at the instrument and says that instrument is talented. People look at the player and says that player is talented. Lord, you are the most skilled musician here. I'm just an instrument, a flawed instrument at that. Use me as you will to glorify your name. Magnify your name as you will. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we continue to look into God's word, and I'm just looking at Romans chapter 8, I just want to do, like I usually do, a small recap. Again, just starting from where we started and where we ended. Romans chapter 1, we were looking at the wrath of God. Again, why I'm saying wrath of God? Because God's wrath is justly poured out on the earth because they have suppressed the knowledge of God and traded God's glory for that of God's creation. So that can be idols, that can be finances, that can be anything in this world. It's traded for, they suppress the knowledge of God. Everyone knows that there is a God. Even atheists, even people deep down, they know that there is a God. They have suppressed that knowledge and traded that knowledge of God for something that God created. Second, when we go to Romans chapter 2, we were looking at what does it mean to be a true Jew? Who is it that is a true Jew? Not one that receives a physical circumcision, but one that receives a spiritual circumcision, a cut of the heart. Romans chapter 3, we start seeing that the wages of sin is death, that there is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no rescue left for mankind. But then we start seeing that by faith, we are saved. By faith, Abraham was saved. So we looked into Abraham's life and we looked at the faith that Abraham had. And then we started looking at what is faith? Is faith without works possible? No. James says, You say you have faith, but I will show you my works. That does not mean that Paul and James are at odds with each other. They are saying faith in Christianity is not just belief, but it is action. So belief and action is what keeps us, makes us righteous before God. Now remember, it's not just our actions, because our actions are filthy garments, and it's not just our belief that saves us. Both of them go hand in hand. And the next part, we were looking at justification. What is salvation? Salvation is us being saved. Saved from what? From our sins. From where our sins condemn us to death, we are being saved. Salvation is a three-step process. It has three parts to it. The first one is justification. What is justification? It is being made righteous before God because we are clothed with Jesus Christ. Our sinful garments are taken away, and Jesus clothes us with his righteousness, so we are justified before God. Now, this happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master, as our Lord. When we accept him, we are clothed with Jesus Christ from on high. But after we have accepted him, we tend to live a sinful life. None of us live purely holy lives, even though we want to. And so this next process is called sanctification. It's the process where the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us and is continuing to sanctify us so that we will be more like Jesus. So while we are on earth, all of us are in this process. If you have already said that Jesus is your Lord, and you have already said that Jesus is your Master, that he is your Savior, and he saved you from your old self, and you have died to your old self, you are in the process of sanctification. And sanctification is a process where you become less like your old you, and you become more like Jesus. You are being transformed. And that is completely in the work of the Holy Spirit. The greatest testimony that we have in our life is not some miracle that Jesus did, not that there was some healing, not that we were rid of any cancer or AIDS or anything of that sort. The greatest miracle that Jesus has done in our life is change us from our sinner self into the new self that is filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the greatest testimony. That is the greatest miracle. That is the greatest testimony that should make people see you are not your old self. എന്നെ അറിയുന്ന ആൾക്കാരെ പണ്ട് അറിയുന്ന ആൾക്കാർ എന്നെ കണ്ടിട്ട് പറയണം, ഇത് പഴയ ജോൽ പോലെയല്ല. ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ലൈക്ക് ദി ഓൾഡ് ജോൽ, ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ലൈക്ക് ഹിസ് ഓൾഡ് സെൽഫ്. വൈ? ബിക്കോസ് ദ ഹോളി സ്പിരിറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ മീ. ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് ടെസ്റ്റിമണി. മോർ ദൻ എനി അപ്പോളജറ്റിക്സ്, യുവർ ലൈഫ് ഇസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് അപ്പോളജറ്റിക്. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് സാങ്ക്ടിഫിക്കേഷൻ, പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് സാങ്ക്ടിഫിക്കേഷൻ. ദ തേർഡ് തിങ് ഇസ് അബൌട്ട് ഹോപ്പ് ഓർ പ്രത്യാശ. ഇറ്റ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഹോപ്പ്. ഹോപ്പ് ഇൻ വാട്ട്? ഇറ്റ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ഗ്ലോറിഫിക്കേഷൻ. Glorification is the day when the sons and daughters of God will be revealed. So we are all saying about Christ in me is the hope of glory. We are not yet glorified. We have not received glorified bodies. So we are waiting eagerly, expectation, with a lot of expectation for the day of glory. Remember I used an analogy. Right now we are still in the slums. We are children of God, and we have the identity. But when we get into the kingdom of heaven, people will recognize that we are special. We are the children of God. We are no longer according to the old man. So, but that process is called glorification. When God reveals, you are my son, you are my daughter. Right now, we have the Spirit of God that is given us as a deposit, saying that we can call out Abba, Father. But a day will come when all the children of God will be revealed. And that's why in Romans chapter 8, it says that all of creation is groaning with expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Right now, it's not revealed who the sons of God are. If you look at the census, the poll, when you filled out the form for the census, the 2021 census in Canada, sometimes they will put Christianity, what denomination, what religion, what is your faith background, you fill this. If you take a look at that poll, you will probably say maybe 70% of Canadians are Christian. I don't know if it is. I don't have the census details. I have to ask the person who's doing the census. But let's assume that 70% of Canadians are Christian. Do we think that actually 70% of them are Christian? No. How many of them are the sons of God? How many of them are the daughters of God? We don't know. We really don't know who are the sons and daughters. But there is a day, on the day of glorification, that the sons and daughters of God will be revealed. That is glorification. So salvation is completed at glorification. It begins at justification. Right now, the process of sanctification is going on. So that's a three-step process of salvation. Yes, we are saved, but when we are fully saved, it is the process of glorification where that is completely realized. So Paul then says in Romans chapter 7, who can save me from this body of sin and death? Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 8, we start saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he compares the people who live in the spirit and people who live in the flesh. Atmavil jeevikinnathum, ജഡത്തിൽ ജീവിക്കുന്നത് മനുഷ്യന്റെ വ്യത്യാസം പറ്റിയാണ് റോമൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 8 പഠിപ്പിക്കുന്നത്. റോമൻസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 8 ടീച്ചേസ് അസ് ദ ഡിഫറൻസ് ഓഫ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ലിവ്സ് ഇൻ ദ സ്പിരിറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ലിവ്സ് ഇൻ ദ ഫ്ലഷ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി വർ ലുക്കിംഗ് ആറ്റ്. ദ സെക്കൻഡ് പാർട്ട് ഐ സെഡ് ദാറ്റ് വെൻ വി വർ ലുക്കിംഗ് ആറ്റ് ദ ഗ്രോണിംഗ് ഓഫ് ക്രിയേഷൻ, ദ സഫറിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് 2 weeks ago I shared a video of missionaries, and we often read Romans chapter 8 verse 28. We say, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But we often use that verse to say what? All things God is working in our life for good. But the context of that verse is, even in suffering, even in persecution, even in pain, God is good. God is doing something good. Even when we get suffering or sickness or pain or persecution or trouble, God is good. His image, what he's working, is bigger than what we experience as good in our life. God is good no matter what happens in our personal circumstance. Then when we read verses 29 to 30, it kind of sums up what Paul is talking about. But I will be touching Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, when we go into Romans chapter 9. Because Romans chapter 9 is going to expand on Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. So for now, I'm going to put a pause and say, let's not look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30 until we read Romans chapter 9. Because Romans chapter 9 can be very confusing. Theologically, it is very confusing. A lot of people read Romans chapter 9 and are very confused how to interpret what Romans chapter 9 is trying to say. So when we go into Romans chapter 9, we're going to use Romans chapter 8 verses 29 and 30 to help us to understand what Romans chapter 9 is all about. So today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 verses 31 to 39. Of this, I read Romans chapter 8 verses 37 and 39. Are you guys tired? Like already, this was just introduction and it's just already 15 minutes is gone. Like this is Pastor Joel. This is what we expect from him. So, but I'm just giving this because I want you guys to see that as we are looking at this chapter, don't forget where we came from. Don't forget how we got to this point. That's why it's so important to set that introduction. And now we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 31. So, Paul is now, let's read that together. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The first thing we're looking at is, what shall we say in response to these things? What is Paul saying? In response to what? And then he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul is talking about when he reads Romans chapter 7, he said, who will save us from this body of sin and death? From this wretched body of sin and death, who can save us? And then he goes into a whole message about living in the spirit. Atmavil ulla jeevitham. Living in the spirit and living not according to the flesh. And then he goes and he realizes that this is very difficult. Idu nammalde swanta pravartiyal nammal vishuddhiyayittu namukku jeevikkan pattathilla. വിശുദ്ധിയും വേർപാടും പാലിക്കാൻ നമ്മളുടെ സ്വന്ത ശക്തിയാൽ പറ്റത്തില്ല, കഴിവില്ല നമുക്ക്. ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ സ്ട്രെങ്ത്, ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ ആക്ഷൻസ് ടു ലിവ് വിത്ത് സെപ്പറേഷൻ ആൻഡ് ഹോളിനെസ് ഇസ് ഇംപോസിബിൾ. ഇഫ് വി കുഡ് ഡു ദിസ് ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ പവർ, ദെൻ വൈ ഡു വി നീഡ് ഗ്രേസ്? ഇത് നമ്മുടെ സ്വന്തമായ ശക്തി കൊണ്ട് ഇത് പറ്റുമായിരുന്നെങ്കിൽ നമുക്ക് എന്തിനാണ് കൃപ വേണ്ടിയത്? വി നീഡ് കൃപ, നമ്മൾ പാടാറുണ്ട് കൃപ മതി കൃപ മതി. വൈ ഡു വി നീഡ് ഗ്രേസ്? ബിക്കോസ് വി ആർ നോട്ട് കേപ്പബിൾ ഓഫ് ഡൂയിങ് ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ പവർ. And so Paul is saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember, I used that analogy that if you're the child of a sheikh in the Middle East, no police will stop you, because they know if the police stops you, the police will go in jail. So the police will stay away from you, because there is no condemnation for those who are the children of the sheikh. In the same way, there is no condemnation for the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now, God is for us, who can be against us? Now let's read verse 32. 32-ാം വാക്യം നമുക്ക് വായിക്കാം. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. So this question is, God spared no one. He even his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, he sent him to the cross for us. നമ്മളെ എത്ര സ്നേഹിച്ചിട്ടാണ് ദൈവം സ്വന്തം പുത്രനെ നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി തന്നത്. He gave his only begotten son to us to save us. Would we do that for someone else? നമ്മൾ നമ്മളുടെ മക്കൾ നമ്മൾ വേറെ ആൾക്കാരുടെ പിള്ളേരെ രക്ഷിക്കാൻ നമ്മൾ അയക്കുമോ? Will we sacrifice our own children for someone else's children? No. But God did. That is his love. അതാണ് ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സ്നേഹം. And we looked at how Abraham's story of sacrificing his own son is a similar pattern, where Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his own son. But here, when it came to God, God was willing to put the knife down on his own son, because that was the only way to rescue humanity. So then, who will condemn us? നമുക്ക് എതിരായിട്ട് ആര് സംസാരിക്കും? Who will bring the charge against us? ആരാണ് സാത്താൻ? Who is Satan? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's not just accuser of the brethren denomination. He's the accuser of all believers. He's accusing every single person who's a believer in Jesus Christ. One of the best pictures of this is the story of Moses and the story of the high priest Joshua in the book of Zechariah. I'm not going there. But if you look at the high priest Joshua and he comes into the presence of God, there is a person, the accuser, alengil shaitan, or the enemy, who's saying, look at him. He is filthy. He's dressed in filthy clothes. He doesn't deserve to be here. And then God told the angel of the Lord, remove his garments and put on white garments and a white turban on him. Who is this angel of the Lord? This angel of the Lord is the same angel of the Lord that spoke to Abraham and told him, stop! For I have seen you are willing to sacrifice anything to me. Who is this angel of the Lord? That angel of the Lord, as we study in the Old Testament, is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the same as Yahweh, but he's also shown to be speaking like as if he's an angel of the Lord. No one has seen the Father. Anytime anyone has encountered a representation of the Father on earth, and they say that you are God, and worships him. For example, like Joshua, as he's going to fight Jericho, he sees the leader of the Lord's army approach him, and he fell down and worshiped him. And he received that worship because that was the angel of the Lord who was Jesus. So Jesus is there in the Old Testament also. But when we come here, we're saying that in the book of Zechariah, God tells the angel of the Lord to take off the dirty garments that the high priest Joshua is wearing. Now remember, the high priest Joshua, daily activity of a high priest, and this is a faithful high priest, has to go and get the blood of the goats to be on his dress and then sprinkle the blood onto God's people so that their sins will be taken away. Every morning this man is trying to get his sins removed. So he's a faithful man whose sins should not be there. But even such a holy, faithful man who's coming into the presence of God is still wearing filthy garments. So God told the angel of the Lord, remove his filthy garments. Because what does Isaiah say? Your righteousness is like filthy rags before God. Takes out the righteousness of the high priest Joshua and puts on a white robe. We looked in Revelation chapter 9. Who are these people who are dressed in white? They are the ones who wash themselves in the blood of the Lamb. What is that white robe? It is the garment that is washed in the blood of the Lamb. It is Jesus Christ. That is the white robe that High Priest Joshua is wearing. That same process that happened in Zechariah is now available in Romans chapter 8 to each and every single one of us. That's what I love about the Bible. The Bible is so, the more you study about all the Old Testament and New Testament stories, you'll see it is so seamlessly one episode. It is just beautiful how the whole Bible fits together. So many different people wrote this one book. There are so many different time periods that this book was written, but it is all talking about the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ and the love of the Father to the humanity and how the Holy Spirit is sanctifying his people to be glorified in the end of time. That's the story of Romans chapter 8. Verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, there are three members in the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Of this, two of the members are used a different word in Greek. It's called parakletos. Parakletos, the Greek word, means advocate or a lawyer or someone who's defending a criminal or a sinner or someone who's done some wrong. So when we go to a court, the person who's defending the person whom the charges are being brought against, that advocate or lawyer is called parakletos. In the Gospel of John chapter 16, it is said that this Parakletos is the Holy Spirit. When we go into the letter of John, 1 John, Parakletos is Jesus Christ. It is the role of the Holy Spirit and the role of Jesus Christ to intercede on our behalf, pleading with the Father, don't punish them. Here are our advocate. You know, if we go and we do something wrong illegally here in Canada, you can go, if you can't afford a lawyer, the court will give you a lawyer. You know that? If you can't afford a lawyer, the court will appoint a lawyer. It's called Crown Prosecutor, and they will be the one to help you and give you advice and tell you, here's someone we will appoint as a lawyer for you. These people are usually just simple people. They don't know a lot. They're hard workers still. They're really pressed. They have so many cases. It's really exhausting for them. They're not really looking out for their clients as much. They just want to wrap up this court case really quickly. But if you go to an actual lawyer, you have to pay $3,000, $5,000, sometimes even more amount of money, and then they will come and defend you. But these people are not taking anyone else's case. They are dedicated to your case. So they will spend hours going through your case file, going through court law, going through different legal structures to get you out of the problem. Okay? But Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they are the best at the law. You know why? Because they were there when the law was written. They know every law. But the best part is Jesus has removed our sin, put it on himself, and clothed us with righteousness. Who will come and say, Joel, you're a sinner. When they see me, I will say, the day I was baptized, old Joel is gone. You want to go and punish that Joel? That Joel is gone. He's dead. The old law is dead with the old Joel. Then who are you? Can't you see? I'm a child of God. I'm clothed with Jesus Christ. Who can stand? Who can condemn? Who can bring a charge? Anybody who brings a charge, immediately God will say, get out. That's my child. Even endemona, even endemola, this is my child. You cannot, you dare open your mouth, speak against my children. Thank you, Jesus. That is God's love. That he saves us from our sins. I cannot help but get emotional when I talk about God's love. We are not meant to be saved. Namal naashathinu vendi. Naashathinu vendi pona aalkar. We were going for destruction. Namale snehichu karthavane aichu. He loved us so much. He gave his himself for us. Crucian me, Karnana Darida, Pranana. Pranana in pekai chagunu pranana then pranana in pekai chagunu itrama snehate Yetrana talinya imaha pavate devami porkali imaha pavate devami porkali Pavate snehi paan jnanini pogumo Pavate snehi paan jnanini pogumo Devatin paidelai ജീവിക്കും ഞാനിനി ദൈവത്തിൻ പൈതലായി ജീവിക്കും ഞാനിനി പാടാം ഒന്നുകൂടെ ക്രൂശിന്മേൽ കാണുന്ന ദാരിദ Crucian mail, Kanana Darida, Prananathan, Prananathan, in Pekai Chagunu. Idana Devatinte Sneham. ഈ സ്നേഹത്തെ പറ്റി നമ്മൾ സംസാരിക്കുമ്പോൾ എങ്ങനെയാണ് നമുക്ക് കരയാതിരിക്കാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? ഹൗ ക്യാൻ വി നോട്ട് ക്രൈ ഓർ ബി ഇമോഷണൽ വെൻ വി ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഗോഡ്സ് ലവ്? ഈ സ്നേഹം ആണ് നമ്മളെ രക്ഷിക്കുന്നത്. നിത്യമരണത്തിൽ നിന്ന്, ഫ്രം ഇറ്റേണൽ ഡെത്ത്, വി ആർ സേവ്ഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്സ് ലവ്. ഹൂ ക്യാൻ കണ്ടം അസ്? ആരാണ് നമുക്ക് ഇപ്പോൾ കോർട്ട് കേസ് കൊടുക്കാൻ പറ്റുന്നത്? ഹൂ വിൽ കം ആൻഡ് സേ ഐ എം എ സിന്നർ? നോബഡി ക്യാൻ. ഐ എം ദ സൺ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്, യു ആർ ദ ഡോട്ടർ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്. But to make sure that we are children of God, make sure we don't hurt the Holy Spirit in us. നമ്മളിൽ ഉള്ള ദൈവാത്മാവെ സങ്കടമാക്കുവാൻ അവസരം ഒരുക്കരുത്. Do not make an opportunity for you to grieve the Spirit of God that is inside of you. Because that is the guarantee that I will be glorified. Glorification de guarantee ana parishuddhaatmavinde ullil. That is the seal of the Spirit of God. So verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, for we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So, Paul is talking about this way. When we look at our life circumstances, we are being persecuted, we are being punished. And last 2 weeks ago, we read about Paul's list of things that he faced: floggings, beating, stoned, almost murdered, persecuted, chased from one place to another. All of these sufferings that the Christians suffered, they are experiencing famine, they are experiencing nakedness, they are experiencing trouble, they are experiencing hardship, they are experiencing persecution, they are experiencing danger, they are experiencing sword. They are experiencing all of these things. But this is what Paul is saying. None of that can separate us from the love of God. നമ്മൾ ഈ ലോകത്തിൽ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ചെയ്യുന്ന എല്ലാ കഷ്ടതയും, രോഗവും, പട്ടിണിയും, നമുക്ക് എതിരായി വരുന്ന എല്ലാ പ്രതികൂലങ്ങളും നിന്ന് നമ്മൾ യേശുവെ നോക്കുമ്പോൾ യേശുവിന്റെ സ്നേഹം മാറുന്നില്ല. Whatever circumstance you go through, remember that God loves you. I'll use this as an example. Stephen-നെ കൊന്നപ്പോൾ, when they were killing Stephen, the first martyr that is recorded in the Bible, how did they kill him? They took stones to throw at him. Where was Stephen's eyes? Stephen's eyes was lifted up. I cannot imagine being in that situation. Imagine yourself as being in Stephen's place. ഒരു നിമിഷം നമ്മൾ ഒന്ന് വിചാരിച്ച്, നമ്മൾ സ്റ്റീഫനെ പോലെ നമ്മൾ ആ ലാസ്റ്റ് മിനിറ്റിൽ അങ്ങനെ ഏറുകൊള്ളാൻ പോകുന്ന നിമിഷമാണ്. നമുക്ക് എതിരെ സ്റ്റോൺസ് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ കല്ല് ഇങ്ങനെ നമ്മുടെ എതിരെ വരുക. And the stones are coming against us. We can see it. I am seeing the stone after doing everything that God called me. I am sharing, I gave a very powerful message. ഉള്ള എല്ലാ ഓൾഡ് ടെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ് അഴിച്ചു പിടിച്ച്, I crushed it and I compactly decided and gave a powerful spirit-filled message to these people. I think Stephen's message is one of the most powerful sermons in the entire New Testament. One of the best powerful sermons for a Jew. He preached it to them. ഒരാളും പോലും മനസ്സിന് തുറന്നിട്ടില്ല. Not one of them felt, ശരിയാ, he is correct. All of them said, his face looks like an angel, and took stones to throw it. ഈ ലോകം നമ്മളെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നില്ല. This world does not love us. നമ്മൾ എന്തിനാണ് തിരിച്ച് ഈ ലോകത്തെ സ്നേഹിക്കാൻ പോകുന്നത്? This world doesn't love us. Why do we go to love this world? അവർക്ക് നമുക്ക് എതിരായിട്ട് ഏറെ ഉള്ളൂ. They only aim targets at hit us all day. Why do we care? Stephen looked up, saw the love of the Father. Pidavinte snehavum, putrante snehavum kandu. He saw Jesus Christ on the right hand side of God, interceding on Stephen's behalf. Saw the love. And you know what Stephen did? He said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He saw the love of God and he reciprocated the love of God to the people around him. I am not there yet. That's why God doesn't give me too much air. Because he wants me to be ready before I get the air. I know my time will come, but before then, God is preparing me to be more like Jesus. To fill me with his love. Putrante snehathal niranju varanam. You have to come brimming full with the love of the Son. Love of Jesus. Now let's read verses 37 to 39. Ippol namukku 37th vakyam mudal 39th vakyam vaikkam. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Logam yendo cheyan pattum, what can this world do? I am loved by God of this world. I am loved by God of this universe. What can this world do to me? And I will sort of end my message with I had a little bit more. I think we have some more time, so maybe I will take a little bit more time, unfortunately. But I will wrap up soon, within the next 10 minutes. I just want to share a personal testimony. When Betty and I, we came to Canada for the first time, not for me, when Betty was coming to Canada after our marriage, when Betty was coming to Canada for the first time, we faced some difficulty with the paperwork and all of that. And finally, we were able to board the plane and come. When we boarded the plane and we got here, Betty had some pain in her leg. The pain just kept getting worse and worse, and she couldn't sleep at night. She would just get up crying in the middle of the night. These are the first few months of my marriage. And I prayed so much to God, God, please heal her. Please remove her pain. And I interceded for her. I used to take her for meetings to different, because that time also I was the youth leader of IRC, so I used to travel to different meetings. But she used to come hopping, poor thing. And she would come for the meetings, and then we would, she would pray, and there was no deliverance, no healing. The Spirit of God would minister there through her, through me, but there was no healing for Betty. It reached a point, and we didn't have a car then, so we were traveling by bus to a lot of places, and other people were giving us rides. We didn't have a car then. So it was really difficult. I remember this one time we were going to Tyndale. I felt really bad because Betty could not walk, but Betty said no. The thing about Betty is she will not tell that she doesn't want to be inconvenienced for anyone, so she will not tell what's really wrong. Even if I ask her, sometimes she will not tell me what is bothering her. So we were traveling by bus, and I said, is it okay? Can you can you walk? She's like, no, it's fine. I can, let me try. I have walked from the bus stop, from the York Region bus stop to Tyndale. It's a 10-minute walk, usually. And it's an uphill walk, but it's a 10-minute walk. It's not too bad. That day with Betty, when I reached Tyndale, it was almost 1 hour and 15 minutes. The 10-minute walk took us both 1 hour and 10 minutes because she could not walk and she was crying the whole time because she was in pain. And I said, God, please help. She did not have her health card. She's on student insurance. Her insurance card did not come. There was an error on it. So that day I went to the office, the school office. I was like, please give us the insurance. And they're like, you're so fortunate. It just came in the mail. I took it and I didn't even stay to go to Tyndale class. We took her to the ER right away. Went to the ER. The doctor said they did a, what is called an ultrasound scan and on her leg where the pain was, and they found a blood clot. A blood clot in her thighs, not in her calf, in her thighs. And this blood clot at any point could have gone up to her heart and she would have died. Any point, it's just take a matter of seconds. She had that for almost 1.5 months. And usually it's in the calf. If it is going up to the thigh, that means that it is that much closer. And it was in her femoral vein. I said, Lord, both of us have medical background. Doctor says DVT. The blood drained from both of our faces because we know how serious the prognosis is. I walked with the doctor, immediately gave blood thinners to kind of deal with injection. And the whole ride back to go home, they gave us the medicine Xarelto for blood thinners and told her to be there. And we had to do blood checkups and all of that. The whole ride home, I was like, Lord, why? Why is this happening? That Sunday, the Sunday after this diagnosis, I'm sitting in the front, like worshiping God. And the Spirit of God comes to me and really builds me up during the time of worship. Then I felt the supernatural faith and strength that came inside of me. I said, Satan, what can you do? Satan, what can you do? You take her, she's going to be with my Lord. What can you do? Nothing. She's already victorious in Jesus' name. And my joy is in Jesus. Of course, I will be sad. But I have a hope that I will see her again. Satan, what can you do? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Come. Do your best. Come. That time I had faith. Really strong supernatural faith. Really, the Spirit of God gave me the strength to say that. And I said that out loud during worship. Thankfully, the music was loud. I don't think anybody else heard it. But I said, Satan, come at me with all you got. This is the best you can do. Come. But honestly, it's about this verse. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can a blood clot do that? No. They take Betty away. Betty is with my Lord. And I will go to be with my Lord one day. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That is the context of this verse. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I conquered over blood clot. Betty conquered over blood clot. Every pain, every problem, everything that the enemy is going to send to her or to me, we are more than conquerors. Even if God saves us or doesn't save us, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, he is able to save us. He was able to save Stephen. He was able to save James. He was able to save all the apostles. Minus John, we know that all of them suffered very hard death. God was able to save all of them. He didn't. He allowed them to suffer. But they knew they are more than conquerors through him who loves, through Jesus Christ. Paul's head, as it was chopped by King Nero, and Nero laid the sword to come and cut down Paul, Paul probably said, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you have? Satan, come at me. Come at me. This is the worst you can do? I'm going to be with my Savior. We are more than conquerors through Christ. This is the meaning of being a conqueror. Not death, not famine, not sword, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We often take that meaning out of the context. But the love of God does not mean that we live privileged lives. Betty has this saying that she often tells me, highly favored does not mean highly pampered. Which means that just because you are the favored of God does not mean that God will coddle you and give a golden spoon in your mouth. No. Just, we are all highly favored by God. We are chosen. We are the elect of God. Does not mean that we are going to get that mansion on earth, that beautiful car that we want, and the salary that we want, and the financial statement that we want. I can tell you one thing. Our riches are stored in heaven. Our riches are stored in heaven. And there, nobody can steal it. Nothing can come and destroy it. No robber can come and ruin it. There is our security. Here, blood clot, there eternity. Here, pain, there joy forevermore. He will wipe my tears away. What can the enemy do? What can he do? Nothing. He brings charge against me. Jesus says, he's my son. Let go. I have been saved from the greatest pain or the greatest judgment, which is eternal death in hellfire. I've been saved from that. In comparison to that, what is anything that this world has to throw? Stones they throw at me. They give me cancer diagnosis. They give me blood clot. Nithya tejasin dhanam orthirumbo. Nodinirathekulla kashtangal saramilla. When you think of the riches in eternity, the small troubles we face for a temporary time period, maximum 70, maximum 100, maybe some of you, hopefully some of you will live till 120, maximum 120. I don't want any of you to pass away before that, but maximum 120. That is nodineram compared to eternity. When you compare 120 years to eternity, what is 120 years? அதோண்டா நமக்கு பாடம் பட்டினது கஷ்டங்கள் சாரமில்ல கண்ணுநீர் சாரமில்ல நித்திய தேஜ சிந்தானமோ திரும்போ நோடி நேரத்தை கொள்ள கஷ்டங்கள் சாரமில்ல. ஐ மீன், வி திங்க் ஆஃப் த ரிச்சஸ் இன் எட்டர்னிட்டி, த ப்ராப்ளம்ஸ் வி ஃபேஸ் ஃபார் அ ஷார்ட் டெம்பரரி பீரியட் பிகம்ஸ் லைக் நத்திங். லெட்ஸ் பவர் ஹெட்ஸ் அண்ட் க்ளோஸ் ப்ரைஸ். Father God, we thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Father, Romans chapter 8, as we've looked back into Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 8. God, we are so privileged to call you our Savior. We don't deserve the salvation. We don't deserve this kind of love. Just like Peter experienced your love in his fishing boat. And he said, depart from me because I am a sinner. Lord, I don't understand why you love me. Why you even use me to speak your holy word. I am not worthy one bit. I am not fit one bit. But I thank you that you use a useless clay piece like me to show the riches of this world, to show the wise of this world, to show all the great people of this world that you can use someone like me for your kingdom's glory. I don't know why you choose me when I'm not a perfect instrument. I have so many weaknesses and shortcomings, but you love me, Lord. You love our church. You love each and every single member in our church. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Lord, help us to say no to sin. Help us to never love sin or the world. They hate us. They want to see us destroyed. But you have come to give us life, eternal life. And we receive that, Lord. We want you and nothing else. And nothing else, Lord. Father God, I surrender our church into your mighty hands. Summit all of us into your mighty hands, God. We thank you for the goodness you have done for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for justifying us. Thank you for the process of sanctification. Thank you for interceding on our behalf. Continue to work in our hearts so that we will become like you and we can love others like you have loved us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen.